Thank you for joining Sunday Morning Worship live from Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church on Weldon Street in Latrobe. Trinity is a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America dedicated to serving our community. The worship bulletin can be found on Trinity's website, www.trinitylatrobe.com. It is All Saints Sunday and Pastor Jim West is preaching. Today's broadcast is dedicated to the glory of God and in loving memory of all the senior citizens that have gone before us, given by Trinity's senior citizens. Today's hymns are ELW number 422, number 439, number 427, and number 422.
Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this All Saints Sunday. The service is, because it is a celebration and because of its importance, the liturgy is a little different. Just pay attention and we're going to just do fine. Okay. Now, it's been reported to us that people do not read. I don't know what we're going to do with you. So I'm going to read the ones I think you need to know. All right. We're asking for people to help with the Advent and Christmas decorations. You know, that's a very big part of our celebration in those seasons. So please, there's a phone number. When you do get around to reading it, there's a phone number in here. Secondly, there was a thought that, don't have the right people to do the Thanksgiving dinner. No. We're going to do a Thanksgiving dinner, and we'll need some help in packing and some other things. We're hoping to do 150 dinners for the community, and that's just a wonderful, wonderful effort. And also, there's a phone number in regarding that. And when I was at a community college taking a culinary course, one of the things we did was a gingerbread house. And I won't be teaching that class, but somebody will be teaching the class on making gingerbread houses. They're kind of fun. So, and that's on the December 5th. So those three I want to highlight. And now, after that, let us now prepare our hearts and our minds for our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death. So, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. We praise you for cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, around us, above us. Our life is born in you. Praise to you for your saving waters. Noah and the animals survived the flood. The Israelites escaped through the sea, and they drink from your gushing rock. Naaman washes his leprosy away, and the Samaritan woman is never thirsty again. Praise to you for the water of baptism and for your word that saves in this sacrament. Bathe your spirit into all who are gathered here and into all creation. Illumine our days. Enliven our bones. Dry our tears. Wash away the sin within us and drown the evil around us. Satisfy all our thirst with your living water, Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Praise the Lord, all you saints.
Praise him, all you heavenly hosts.
Let us praise the name of the Lord.
For his name only is to be exalted.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all you patriarchs and prophets.
Miriam, Ruth, and Naomi.
Elizabeth, Mary, and all you holy women.
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
James and John, and all you evangelists and apostles.
Stephen, Thomas, Peter, and Paul.
Philip, Bartholomew, and all you holy martyrs.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
These are the saints whose robes are washed white in the blood of the Lamb.
Praise the Lord.
We are the saints who are the living body of Christ, the Church.
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
This is the victory, O Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who can stand in this holy place?
Those who have clean hands and a pure heart,
who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is a fraud. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord and a just reward from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, of those who seek your face, O God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Second reading comes from Revelation, the 21st chapter. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the word of the Lord."
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the very little bit of teaching that I did at Southern Seminary, I did teach a required course called Pastoral Formation. And one of my students, David, a second-year seminarian, had just completed a superlative first year. He earned straight A's, including in New Testament Greek, and he also took the Hebrew elective. He was also elected class president, and finally, he tossed the winning touchdown against Gettysburg in the annual seminary flag football game. For David, see, this preparing to be a pastor business was gloriously easy. Unlike for He was in the right place at the right time in life. pursuing exactly the right vocation. He was the pastoral equivalent of Robert Redford in that great baseball flick, The Natural. Like all seminarians, at the end of their first year, David had to take the required clinical pastoral education course at a hospital in Columbia. He would be spending the whole summer there as a hospital chaplain intern. He told us, the first 2 days were absolutely great. He would snap on his clerical collar, walk confidently into the chaplain's office, listen to a case-by-case review of patients, and then go on rounds with the medical staff. But on the third day, as David was strolling down a corridor, he heard a woman cry out, "Pastor, oh, Pastor." Unconsciously, he looked around to see if he knew who this pastor was. He was surprised to see he was the only one standing in the hallway. "Pastor, oh, Pastor," the woman cried out again. And he turned around and looked at her and pointed at himself, "Do you mean me?" "Yes, Pastor. Would you please come and pray with my husband and me? He's dying." David's whole life passed in front of him in that instant. She couldn't mean him. He wasn't a pastor. Not yet. Not at all. But of course, how could she know that? He just stood there for a while, like a deer caught in headlights. Once more she begged him, "Pastor, please hurry." And with that, he was on his way to her room. He doesn't remember precisely or whatever he said, but he does remember reaching out for the woman's hand, making the sign of the cross on the head of her husband as he recited the Aaronic benediction, that one commonly used at the end of worship. He remembered holding the woman as she tried to be brave, all the while he was wiping his own tears away. That day, he said to the class, he was privileged to be a witness, a symbol of God's grieving and loving heart. For David, as for so many students, the courses, the library research, the whole academic exercise was exactly that, exercise. Now he'd been sent into the game. His formation for pastoral ministry had finally begun. Over the last 40 years, and for Pastor Clement, the last 50 years, we've had the privilege of witnessing death many, many times. And yes, we would say to you, it's a privilege. For if all of life is a continuing education, then the witnessing of death is a privilege. For without a doubt, it is the most powerful form of teaching David and I have ever experienced. I've seen it welcomed. I've seen some hysterically fight against it. I've seen it come with great dignity and beauty. I've seen it come in the first hours of an infant's life and after a century of life. For those without faith, I've seen death waited for with cynicism, bitterness, resignation, and defeat. And by the faithful, with joy and acceptance, peace and confidence. Emma, what a wonderful woman. She just turned 80. In her hospital bed, she patiently accepted the final stages of cancer. During the days prior to my last visit, she would say, and mean it, that she was excited as a newlywed, packing up her bags for her honeymoon. My day can't come quick enough, she said, and her eyes would twinkle and dance with joy. When that last day arrived, she could barely speak, but her eyes begged me to lean over and place my ear near her lips, and she would whisper hoarsely, "Tell me about my home. Tell me, what will it be like?" And I knew what she wanted to hear me read. So I was privileged to read from the scriptures what John of Patmos, the author of Revelation, had written. And in the spirit, he carried me to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like that of a very rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. And a knowing smile of peace covered her face, and she whispered, "Oh, Pastor, tell me more." And so I continued with what was today's second reading. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." Again, she whispered. And so I recited this reading again and again, and on finishing it a fourth time, she died. But it isn't only from the old and dying that we hear faith-filled testimonies of confidence and trust in the life that God offers us to come. Way back when both of our sons were quite young, I was laid over in Atlanta on a return trip home from Chicago. And I called home, as I would be prone to do, and my six-year-old, Ben, answered the phone. And his voice was charged with sadness. "What's the matter, Ben?" I asked. "I feel so bad for those boys who died in the lake," he answered. I knew, of course, he was talking about, maybe you remember, little Alex and Michael Smith from Union, South Carolina. "Why did their mommy do that?" he asked. Well, several hours later, sitting between my sons on the living room couch, I tried to explain that happening to Ben and Adam, but I came up way short. What I said was of very little comfort to them. There was nothing left for a dad to do but reach for their favorite bedtime story, so I took hold of A Cat in the Hat. Adam, who just turned 4, and before I could begin reading, jumps off the couch and picks up a Bible story picture book and brings it to me like he's an acolyte, and says, "Daddy, read us the story about when Jesus died and got a new body." A 4-year-old had figured out the truth. Evil, no matter how horrific, does not have the last word. Never. Tasha Banks was a member of the church I once served in Cleveland. And like so many others in that little inner city neighborhood, Tasha had suffered more in her 16 years than any of us could experience in a lifetime. As an 8-year-old, she had been brutally beaten and hospitalized by a drunken stepfather. Her mother, a chronic schizophrenic, had burned Tasha's arms and back many, many times with the hot white ash of a cigarette butt. And at 10, she had begun a period of being repeatedly sexually abused. But St. Paul Lutheran Church on East 55th, that was Tasha's home. She came there at every opportunity, after school, when distressed, because she knew there she was safe and appropriately loved. So listen to what she wrote as a senior in her class yearbook section. I don't know if they do that anymore. You know, the last will and testament. She writes, "I, Tasha Cleavon Banks, being of sound mind and body, leave all of my clothing to the St. Paul Clothing Bank, my smile to my sister who needs one, and all of my functional parts to the hospital. Since the years have been good to me, I wish to be buried under St. Paul Lutheran Church, where I hope to hear them singing to the Lord our Father every Sunday morning." I suspect that our churches have lost something very valuable when congregations stopped burying their dead in the vaults beneath the houses of worship, or were no longer able, as in our case, to provide a graveyard surrounding their house of worship. Because those graves and vaults are a constant visible reminder that those saints are still a part of our fellowship. I remember once watching a History Channel documentary about trench warfare during the First World War. Apparently, many of the infantry literally hadn't been able to stand up for months at a time. Day and night, they would have to crawl through a maze of trenches from the latrine to the gun station to the sleeping corner. They kneeled and squatted and crawled and crouched and duck walked, but never were able to stand up. To stand up in a trench was seriously a way to lose one's life. But when the armistice was signed, and after spending years cowering in those slits in the ground, the soldiers could at last stand erect without the fear of having their heads blown off. One old soldier interviewed tried to remember for the viewers the joy of that day when he and his friends could finally stand up together, free of fear. So if you can take that picture of a soldier boldly standing up and transfer it to your emotional and spiritual life, you have the net effect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the gift of faith, a believer can stand up, can stand up with confidence, because evil has only blanched the fire. The vision Emma wanted to hear from the book of Revelation was written to the Christians of the first century to tell them that they could stand up with confidence instead of crouching and cowering and trying to hide their faith from the Roman authorities. See, Roman law required that all of its citizens and its subjects, when paying taxes, they had to make a three-word statement of belief in the divinity of Caesar. "Caesar is Lord," they were required to recite. Not to believe, but to recite. To say anything less was to court the possibility of being arrested and fed to the lions. Yet Christians, inspired by the reading of John's vision of the New Jerusalem, when they stood up before the Roman tax man, many boldly made a three-word counter-confession. "Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. Jesus." So you and I are getting a little older. So what? What a relief to be able to admit that. So, all right, Gravity is having the last word on the shape of some of our bodies. So, okay, big deal. We're going to die. What a blessing to be able to face all that in peace. 10 years from now, many of our names will have been read on this All Saints Sunday. 20 years from now, many more. 50 years. And all but our grandchildren will have had our names read and remembered on the first anniversary of our death. And in just a moment, we will remember those members of the Trinity family who have joined the Church Eternal. And as is your custom, we will read their names and ring the handbell of victory, not mourning. And we will rejoice for them. Someday I will be privileged to have my name read from such a list somewhere, and so will yours be read. And may our prayer in the meantime be, help us to stand erect and valiantly proclaim the truth with our lives, for Jesus is Lord.
Blessed by God through the lives of all the saints departed. They help make us strong yet gentle, wise yet simple, restless yet contented. With thanksgiving to God, we celebrate their life among us and their life with God in eternity.
Wayne Edwards, Betty Murphy,
Larry Kowatch, Thelma Brown, David Smeltz, Margaret Steele, Loretta Walt.
Paul Barenbrook, Mary Johnson, Kenneth Pfeiffer Jr., Catherine Kentouris, Michael Ernst.
Paul Weiss, Alfred Nagel Jr., James Lawson, Doris Patterson, Amy Kozlowski. John Paluski, Lorna Giovangelo, Daryl Evans, Margaret Barber, Arthur Ross.
David Bruch, Lois Cleveland, Donovan Chula, Linda Robb.
Betty Avery, Marion Centurion, Vernon Keck, Ronald Smith, George Reiner. John Stark Jr., Donald Fowler, Cindy Fowler, Deborah Reiner, Bonnie Brown.
Ralph Luchter, Donald Steffel, John Kuda, Ruth Metcalf, Joan Disser.
Mary Evans, Kenneth Nelson, Timothy Groho, Gary White, Wolf, Diana McDonald.
Lee Steffi, Michael Komarinski Jr., Gregory Soule, Lily Steffi, Michael Milano.
Jay Clough, Marta Maher, Geraldine Beidel, Pamela Merlin, Naomi Snyder.
Roger Fisher, Margaret Beeman, Russell Poole, David Johnson, Diana Walker.
Tammy Lou Clark, Charles Nature, Dominic Romeo, Terrence Gatens, Rose Lashago. We praise you, O God, for though death has taken them from us, you have wrapped them in the mantle of your Son and have called them your very own. And so we sing.
As able. Together we confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come. Amen. Please kneel or be seated as able. Eternal God, you hold firm amid the changes of this world. Hear us now as we pray for the church, the world, and everyone in need. Almighty God, save and defend your church. Defend it when it is attacked. Purify and heal it when it sins. Make it perfect in love and good works. Keep it steadfast in the faith once delivered to the saints, so that the whole church may bear witness to you and glorify your holy name. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is
great. Creator God, we praise you for abundant harvest and the goodness of creation. Create communities of care for your earth, so that all land, water, and soil will be celebrated and cherished by future generations of saints. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Comfort with grace of your Holy Spirit all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially John Salveson, Ralph Nyman, Abigail Glagola, Jay Elder, Barbara Reiner, Harry Reiner, Russ Shannon, Joanne Hoover, David Rock, Darren Johnston, Joy Halepin, Betsy Nagy, Rob McCordry, and Mike McCordry. Hear us, O God. Draw to yourself our congregation's hearts. Guide us, enlighten, inspire, and use us so that we may serve and minister to the needs of your people. We pray for our members, Richard Rupert, Richard E. Rupert, Tammy Russbossen, Linda Sacca, Lisa Sanja, the Marcia Salandro family, Georgette Sandrowitz family, Deborah Sarnes, Christopher and Jessica Saunders, and Lily Scafardi. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all our blessed dead who rest now in your care. Grant that we, who walk by faith and not by sight, may continue with steadfast hope, constant love, and unquenchable joy. And at your appropriate time, gather us with all the saints of every time and place at the eternal high feast that celebrates your victory over sin and death through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear us, O God. God, our protection and strength, we entrust to you all for whom we pray. Amen. Please stand as able.
Thanks for joining Trinity Lutheran Church in Latrobe for worship. Trinity will continue to worship live here and online on their Facebook page on Sundays at 8:15 a.m. In-person worship has resumed on Saturdays at 5:30 p.m., Sunday at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., and Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. You can access Trinity's worship services, morning devotions, and other information about the ministry on Facebook, YouTube, and the Trinity website. God's peace be with you this week.